In the past few weeks, we've been in a series called Neighboring. Neighboring, loving your neighbor as yourself. If you've ever worked on a ranch or been around ranching communities, or, you know, obviously we live in one in Woodward and the surrounding areas, but there is a custom or a practice that's called neighboring. And what that means is let's say I work at a certain ranch and then the ranch next to us needs help working calves or, you know, weaning calves or whatever it is, I'm going to do what I can to go over there and help them work their calves or, you know, wean their calves. Well, the idea is I help them, they help me. And so when it comes time for us to work our calves at our place, they're going to come over to our house and they're going to help us work our own calves. It's called neighboring. And it's an act of kindness. It's just, you know, it saves money. You don't have to pay the crew or whatever. And so that's the practice of neighboring. Now, here's the thing. I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to love our neighbor. Amen. Amen. And so here's what we've learned in the past few weeks. Number one was this, and you don't have to write all this down. We're going to get into some new stuff today. But number one was neighboring is more about the how than the who. Remember this? It's more about the how than the who. The who is settled. You say, who am I supposed to love? Who am I supposed to neighbor? Well, the Bible says that you're supposed to love everybody and you're supposed to neighbor everybody. So the who is settled. You say, well, how do I love my neighbor? Well, number two is this. Neighboring means that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. I don't know if you love yourself or not, but most of us would say we do, right? We clothe ourselves, we feed ourselves, we water, you know, ourselves, so to speak. We drink water, right? We don't just pour water on us. Hey, I'm growing. You know, and so we feed ourselves, we clothe ourselves, we do all those things because we love ourselves. Well, the Bible says, I want you to love others like you love yourself. And so that's one of the ways we do it. The third, point that we looked at already is neighboring should be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Again, I'm not just a good old boy. I don't just do moral things. I'm not just going to go through life and hope I get in because I'm a good person. No, I want to do things in Jesus' name for His glory. And when we do that, guess what? It means that we have to step up our game in our love for one another. We looked at the Samaritan, you know, that helped the Jew guy that was, you know, beat up in the story in Luke chapter 10. And the Samaritan went above and beyond to help this Jew, right? Took him to a hotel, told the hotel owner, hey, whatever he needs, you give it to him and I'll pay you for whatever he needs. He went above and beyond in Jesus' name, right? And that's what we're called to do as well. Number four was this, our weakness connects us to our neighbor. I don't know if you realize this or not, but everybody has weaknesses, right? We all have weaknesses, and guess what I've learned? It's our weaknesses that connect us. I can impress you, right, by the way I dress. Some of you guys are like, no, not really. But I can, and I can impress you by the way I preach, and I can impress you by the way I sing and all that other stuff. But that's not the stuff that really connects us. It's our weaknesses that connect us. And many times we think our weaknesses is what holds us back, but it's actually what connects us to our neighbor. Because they realize and we realize that nobody's perfect. And even in spite of our weakness, God can use our weakness to show His power. And so our weakness connects us to our neighbor. And number five was this, our love connects our neighbor to Jesus. Our love for the world connects them to Jesus. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. And the second is just as important, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's love that makes the difference. And so, and can I just tell you this? I believe our world needs to hear this more than ever. I don't know if you've watched any news, but there's some racial stuff going on, and I believe that love is the answer. And it's the love of God that's the only thing that can heal all that stuff. And so I hope that you pray for our nation and our country. But I want to look at number six. Number six is this. You ready for this? Neighboring leads to God's blessing. You say, well, how do I be blessed? How do I, you know, get, you know, God, all that God has for me in life? I'm telling you, if you will love other people and you will be generous to other people, God will show you and He'll bless you. I'm telling you, I never thought in my wildest dreams, because I barely passed English. Anybody with me? Come on now. Can I get a witness? I barely passed English, but I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be an author. I mean, that's so funny, because I'm thinking, I can't even spell. My grammar is terrible. So what did I have to do? I had to pay somebody thousands of bucks to fix my grammar. But anyway, so if you don't know it, my wife and I were able to pull the stuff together, money together, to be able to write a cowboy devotional. And I'm just telling you, before we started writing it, or before I started putting it together and all that stuff, I knew that God had a plan for it. I knew that God had, you know, given me a passion for doing this, because I had never seen it before. I mean, I've been to Mardell, Lifeway, I've been to all these Christian bookstores and never seen a cowboy devotional. So I knew that I had this niche in kind of this market of devotionals. And so I didn't know how God would bless it or whatever, but I knew that He could, and I prayed that He would. And can I just tell you, we ordered 5,000 copies of this devotional probably a year or so ago, and we've almost sold out of 5,000 copies. Yeah. And here's what I know about myself. I know that, okay, so when I think about selling that many copies, and I thought about this before we ever even printed them, I'm going to be rich. Anybody? Well, can I tell you? It hasn't happened. But here's what I knew about myself. And I talked to Heather about this. And again, we try to work together in making decisions. I knew that if I could sell all those books, that we would make tens of thousands of dollars. And so out of, you know, again, a desire to obey God, and out of obedience, I told Heather, and Heather and I made a decision that we were going to give a portion of that money away. And I'm not saying this to boast. I'm saying this to boast about the Lord. And because of that, because of God's blessing on our lives, we've been able to give tens of thousands of dollars away to meet other people's needs. Amen? But here's what I've learned out of all that. Here's what I've learned. I've learned that when I am generous with God, when I'm generous with other people, God blesses me even more. Even more. I'm telling you, He does it. When we have a need and we're being generous, God fulfills the need. He does it every time. And so you say, well, you know, what's this whole idea of neighboring leads to God's blessings? Well, I'm just telling you, when you love your neighbor as yourself, God promises to bless you. Not just financially, not just, you know, all the, you know, money-wise, but emotionally, physically, all those things that come along with that. Here's what I heard this pastor say one time. He said, when God blesses you financially or whatever it is, don't just raise your standard of living, raise your standard of giving. Don't just raise your standard of living, raise your standard of giving. My tendency is, oh yeah, what can I buy? You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? Am I the only one? Come on, please raise your hand. Please. I'm begging you in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, I want to think about myself. But what God says is, hey, don't just raise your standard of living. And by the way, we haven't given every dime away. My wife still gets new shoes. Amen? You got to take care of the kids, right? I mean, you got to pay for food. No, I'm just kidding. They get all kinds of neat stuff too, because God's blessed us. But at the end of the day, God says, when I bless you, I want you to bless other people. And the more that you do that, the more that I'm going to bless you. And you say, well, Bo, here's the question. So should I bless other people so that I can get God's blessing? I mean, that's a question that I ask myself, and that's a kind of a confusing question. But here's what I've come to. I believe the answer is no. Should I, you know, when is it wrong? And here's the question. I messed it up. Is it wrong to do something so that you get God's blessing? I believe the answer is no, it is not wrong. You know why? Because every time that I read the Bible says, God says, hey, you love me, you obey me, you love other people, and I will bless you. And so here's what I've come to realize. I want all that God has for me. I want everything He has for me. Over 93 times in the Bible, I mean, again, I looked it up. I did a Google search. Over 93 times God says, love me, obey me, serve other people, and I will bless you. But here's the thing that we get into a lot of times, and this is important to remember. And I want you to hear this, because so many people think that the gift is really the gift. But it's not. Here's what I want you to remember. It's the giver of the blessing, not the gift that we put our faith in. Are you with me? So many people, they're like, hey, man, I prayed and I asked God, and God promised that he was going to provide for this and provide for that, but he didn't. And they lose faith in God because they were relying on the gift. Here's the problem. Your faith shouldn't be in the gift or the blessing. It should be in the giver of the blessing. And so listen, some of you guys need to hear that, because God's ways, guess what? They're not our ways. You think, well, I'm supposed to get this. I'm supposed to get that. No, God says, hey, I'll give you what I know that you need. And sometimes I'll even give you what you want. Look at Isaiah 55:9. It says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Here's what I know about God. His blessings may not always look like what we expected. Are you with me? I mean, sometimes I'm thinking, man, we're going to get this, we're going to get that, and it doesn't look anything like that. Here's what else I know. It may not happen in our timing. How many of you guys have ever asked God for something and he took his time? Hey, God, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Is this thing working? Is my battery dead? You know, do I need to plug this in? Because I don't think you're hearing me. And God says, hey, I have a timing that is perfect. Just wait. What else I know is that God may test your faith when you begin to look to him for a blessing. And so here's what we got to do. We got to trust God in the good, in the bad, in the delayed, and even when we never receive what we think we deserve. Even when we never receive it. It may not ever happen on this earth. It may only happen in heaven. I'll prove it to you. You ready? I want you to look at Isaiah 58. And Isaiah is a prophet, right? He speaks on God's behalf to the people of Israel. The people of Israel were fasting. And you say, what does that mean? Well, they were doing without food or water for a certain period of time so that they could please the Lord and help, you know, hear from the Lord. Well, that's all they were doing. They were going through this religious practice, but they weren't serving people outside the church. And listen to what Isaiah tells the people. He says this, no, this is the kind of fasting that I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those in need who need them, and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Some of you guys, you want me to repeat that? And do not hide from relatives that need your help. Some of you guys need to hear that one. That'll take a miracle. But listen to what happens if you don't hide from your relatives. Listen. It says, then your what? Salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will what? Lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call on the Lord will what? Answer, yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yokes of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. And then your light will what? Shine out from darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon, and the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Do you see it? I mean, again, so many people are like, well, you know, if I just obey God, you know, again, I shouldn't expect his blessing. No, listen, God says, I'll bless you if you will free those that are imprisoned, if you will lighten the burden of other people, if you will share your food, if you'll share your water, if you'll share your shelter, if you'll give clothes to the needy, if you'll not hide from those pesky relatives. Guess what he says? He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to save you from your troubles. I'm going to heal your wounds quicker. I'm going to lead you forward. Do you get this? I mean, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to answer when you pray. I'm going to be there in the darkness so that you can shine bright. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give you water when you're dry. I'm going to restore your strength. And can I just tell you, this promise doesn't just apply to the Israelites. It applies to us. Every one of us, if we will do what God has asked us to do and not just do the church thing, but actually love our neighbor outside these walls, God says, I want to bless you. Instead of just praying about things, if we will put our faith into action and do something about it, God says, I'll bless you. And here's what he says to me, Bo, don't just preach it, live it. Right? And God says, hey, I'll bless you. And so here's the cool thing. Many of you are already serving other people. You serve on a team at this church. You serve other people weekly on a weekly basis. And here's what I've learned when you begin to serve people on a team. God changes you. He not only changes your neighbor because you're welcoming people, you're providing a need that, you know, some people have, but he changes you. Here's what I know about people that serve other people. They're genuinely more happy. I'm telling you, it's true. You look at people that are serving other people, they're happier, they sleep better at night, and their life is more fulfilling. I'm telling you, it works. I know it from my own experience, and I've seen a lot of hard, unemotional people. When they begin to serve somebody else and love their neighbor, it breaks them. I'm telling you. When you think, and again, so many people in this barn, maybe even today, you think, man, I don't have anything to offer. I have all these screw-ups in my life. I'm messed up in my own life. How can I help other people? No, listen, get past that. Allow the Lord to help you and work his power through those weaknesses. But at the end of the day, listen, if you will serve other people, God will bless you. And it's okay to receive his blessing. I'm just telling you, it's just true. And so at Thousand Hills, guess what? We love our neighbor. We love our neighbor. I've said it before, but in the past just 2 years, we've given over $172,000 away to people in need. Yeah. And again, I don't say that. That's nothing I've done. That's all that God's done, and he's done it through you guys. And here's why I believe that God's blessing our church is because we're loving our neighbor. It's the bottom line. And so we're committed to that. We value that we say we tend the herd. In other words, we're gonna tend the herd. We're going to meet others' needs. And so number six was this. Neighboring leads to God's blessing. Here's number seven. Neighboring, listen to this. You guys need to hear this one. Neighboring doesn't always lead to a blessing from your neighbor. How many of you guys have ever blessed somebody and you've helped somebody and they were ungrateful? Heck yeah. How many of you guys, amen. We got a strong one there. Don't be pointing any fingers. But I'm just telling you, it happens. I mean, we serve people all the time. We gave a refrigerator to an individual, and I'm not going to mention names or anything. Gave a refrigerator to an individual who, you know, said they needed a fridge. I mean, it had water in it, you know, in the door. It had everything. It was huge. The next day I get on Tradeo and I hear him. He's selling the fridge that we just gave him. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to call Tradeo and be like, that guy's a jerk. Don't buy that because that's, you know, we gave that to him. But here's the thing. Our response typically is, man, I'll never do that again. Man, I'll never serve them again. I mean, they don't care. I mean, you know, I'll never, you know, help anybody else out. But here's what you have to learn. And I mean, again, as you serve other people, you're going to get taken advantage of. I heard it put this way. You don't know you're a servant of God until you get treated like one. Until you get treated like a servant. And so you're going to get taken advantage of, but here's what I've learned. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we are told to give without expectation to get in return from our neighbor. You say, oh, I'm supposed to give to get a return from God? Absolutely. But when it comes to your neighbor, we are called to give without expecting someone to return the favor. We serve others whether they serve us or not. I'll give you an example of this. The Bible tells a story in Luke chapter 14. A guy is hosting a party, and Jesus taught him this truth at the party. Listen to it. Luke 14, it says, then he, Jesus, turned to his host and he said this, when you put on a lunch or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, and your rich neighbors. For they will invite you back and that will be your only what?
Reward.
Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will what?
Reward
you for inviting those who could not repay you. God, you may read that and go, does that mean I can't hang out with my friends? I mean, I got to invite all these poor people and I got to invite people that, you know, again, are struggling and all this stuff to all the parties that, you know, that I have. Here's the point. And can you just, I'll just point out the obvious. Jesus wasn't saying don't invite your friends because Jesus was at the party too. Are you with me? I don't think he was very needy. I don't think he needed help. I think he was pretty good. And that guy invited Jesus to the party. So God, what is God saying? He's saying, don't just invite your friends, invite those that need something. And again, this is risky. This is messy. This can be fun because you never know what people are going to do when you invite them to the house. Are you with me? I'm just telling you, it can be fun. But I'm telling you, when you begin to serve other people that can't pay you back, God will bless you. You start reaching the people that no one else wants to reach, and God will bless you. I'm telling you, he does it every time. And you say, well, are they supposed to be grateful? They're supposed to be, but not. They're not always grateful. And guess what? It's okay. It's okay, because I'm not doing it to get a reward from them. I'm doing it to get a reward from him. Amen? And you say, well, okay, so we're only supposed to serve poor people. What about rich people? Here, can I just tell you, we're not rich, but I know a lot of rich people. And can I just tell you, rich people have needs as well. You need to hear this, because some of you guys are like, those poor, pitiful millionaires. I mean, they don't have a need in the world. Are you kidding me? Have you been around any rich people? Here's what I've learned. You say, well, how do I serve rich people? How do I neighbor those who have everything and, you know, they're rich and they have everything that they want? Here's what I've learned hanging out with a lot of rich people. You ready? Give them something that money can't buy. I mean, so many rich people, they can't trust anybody because everybody wants their stuff. Give them emotional support. Give them loyalty. Give them a friendship without expecting to go fishing on their lease. I'm not going to look at anybody. But I'm just saying, you know, minister to other people without expecting something in return, especially if they're rich. I'm telling you, it works. And so many people are like, Bo, why do you hang out with that rich person? You know, and they want to judge and they want to talk and they want to say, well, he's just friends with rich people. Here's what I've learned. Can I just let this out of the bag? Rich people need Jesus just as much as poor people. They need a friendship with the pastor just as much as the poor people. And here's what else I've learned. Why in the world would I neglect being with someone, being a friend to someone that has a gift of making money? Why? Why would I do it? Here, I'll give you an example. I don't look at somebody who has a beautiful voice and go, you got too beautiful. I mean, your voice is too beautiful. We're not going to use you. We don't want you to get a big head, so we're not going to use you. But so many people are like, you know, that whole money deal. I mean, again, and I have to keep myself in check and all that stuff. But here's what I've learned. God has gifted certain people to make money. Are you with me? I mean, I know some people, that's their spiritual gift. Because they can take a dollar, and I can't make squat out of it, but they can make $100 out of a dollar. And so why would I say, I don't want to use your gift, even though God's given it to you? And so guess what? We're going to serve the poor. We're going to serve the rich. We're going to provide for them. I'll never forget it. I was hanging out with one of my rich friends, and his name's Tony. Nobody knows him. This is when I was growing up. He has a huge house. I mean, just huge house. He has three or four boys, and they all played college football, and they were all good looking, you know, and all this stuff. And he had a pool in his backyard, shape of a cross, and just beautiful. I mean, just had all this beautiful stuff. And I remember going to his house one day, and I actually asked him. I said, "Why are we friends? I mean, I can't do squat for you." And I'll never forget it, because at the moment that I asked that question, I had a shovel in my hand and I was shoveling gravel in his driveway. And he looked at me and he said, "Bo, we're friends because you're shoveling gravel for me." That was it. Again, so many people think, "Oh, I can't do anything for those rich people. I can't do anything for those wealthy people." And we judge them just like some people judge the poor. But God says, "I want to use them." And God says, "I can use them." And so, again, it's the little things that make their life better. And here's the cool thing. It doesn't just work neighboring our people, you know, our loving people. It doesn't just work and apply to those that we know. It also applies to strangers. You may never know who you're serving when you serve a stranger. I'll give you an example in the Bible. Look at this. This is so cool. Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to who? Strangers. To strangers. For some who have done this have entertained who?
Angels
without even realizing it." Some of you guys are like, "Really? You really think that you've entertained some angels?" I can tell you I've entertained some demons. Some people that were possessed. But I'm telling you, in my lifetime, I have no idea who those strangers were that were angels, but I know that I've entertained a few. Amen? And so you never know. That person who you think that walks through these doors is some little weirdo can be an angel. And God says, "That's what I want you to do. I want you to love them." And so neighboring leads to God's blessing. Neighboring doesn't always lead to the blessing from your neighbor. And the last is this, and I'm done. Neighboring is a process. It's a process. Some of you guys, let me give you a few examples. You help us reach foster families by giving, you know, money or whatever it is so that we can, let's say, give a bed to a foster family. When a kid's taken out of their home, guess what? They need a bed. And so because we've been blessed, because you are generous at our church, we are able to give beds to those foster kids so they can have a good night's sleep on that first night they're pulled out of their home. It's a great thing. We've also given, Christmas boxes, Operation Christmas Child. We've packed a box, shipped it overseas so that people that don't have money can have a gift for their kid on Christmas. Some of you guys buy shoes, and when you buy a shoe, a kid gets a shoe or shoes. When you buy a pair of shoes, kids get shoes all over the world. I'm telling you, those are great things. Those one acts can change somebody's life. But here's what I've learned as well. Many times loving your neighbor is more than one act. It's a relationship. And you say, "What do you mean?" Well, I believe that we are called to develop and pray for and begin to have authentic relationships with people. And that takes a process. I'll give you an example. Galatians chapter 6 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome with some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the what? The right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and this way obey the law of Christ." If you think you're too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Was that in your face? I didn't say it. The Bible did. The Bible says, gently, humbly help a person get back on the right path. And can I tell you, sometimes that takes more than one act. You got to develop an authentic friendship, an authentic relationship. Our church, our purpose statement is Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and what? Building authentic relationships. Here's what I've learned. When you begin to develop authentic relationships with someone, I'm telling you, it can change you and it'll change other people. And you say, "Well, how do I start those authentic relationships?" I mean, here's what I want you to think about. Where do you go the most? I mean, think about work. Where else do you go? I mean, you think about the places that you eat. How many of you guys eat at the same place and you're in a rut? You like love this one place and you go there all the time. Raise your hand. Yeah. I mean, we do it all the time. Think about the places where you go buy your food. United, a Walmart, whatever it is. Think about where you buy gas or get your oil changed or get your hair cut. Here's my encouragement. You say, how do I start these authentic relationships? Here's my encouragement. Become a regular at those places. You say, well, is this spiritual? I believe it is. But it's also practical. Here's what I've learned. We go to a Mexican restaurant in town, and we've gone there for like 5 years, every Sunday for the last 5 years. We are in a rut. We're ordering pizza at Mexican place because we've ate everything else. But here's what I've learned. After 5 years, guess what? I've developed some great relationships with some of the people that work there. You know why? Because I tip well. I try to. Because I try to make sure my kids don't leave a mess. Because I actually ask about their life. I actually ask what their name is. And I begin to develop an authentic relationship with this person that I just know from being my waiter or my waitress. You say, well, what's the point? Well, when you begin to do that, when you begin to get to know people and you begin to reach out, get out of your comfort zone and love your neighbor, guess what? At some point, you're going to be able to, or you're going to begin to care about them and they're going to begin to care about you. You say, what else can I do? Instead of having a cookout in your backyard, if you guys live in a neighborhood, have a cookout in your front yard. Make more food than you need and then pray that God brings your neighbor over. Invite him over. Invite him over. Go to the park regularly and pray that God would provide some people there that you can minister to and develop an authentic relationship with. I mean, just do it. I'm telling you, it works. And so take the time and make the commitment to the process of developing relationships. And you say, what will the result be? I'm telling you, lives will change for the glory of God when you love your neighbor. They will. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Again, some of you are here today, maybe for the first time, and you're like, what is this church all about? Well, I'm telling you, one of the things that we're about, we obviously have some pretty awesome values and things that we believe, but one of the things that we're about is loving our neighbor. We call it, we tend the herd. In other words, we're going to minister to those that are around us in the church and those that are outside the church. And again, you say, well, why do you do that? Well, because we believe the Bible when it says, and Jesus says, the most important commandment that I'll give you is love God and love your neighbor. And so some of you are here today and you're thinking, Bo, I've got enough friends. Don't need any more. Some of you are thinking, you know what? I am too busy to serve. Don't know if I can do that. Can I just tell you, you are missing out on the blessings of God. Some of you, you know, you've been blessed financially, but you don't give that away or you don't give it back to the Lord. Again, you're missing out on the blessings of God. Your money will be gone tomorrow, but I'm telling you, the blessings of God last for eternity. Some of you have things that sit in your garage that you haven't touched in years, but your neighbor needs them. And you need to offer to allow them to use them. Again, you say, well, that's my stuff. No, it's really God's. And I'm telling you, when you begin to be generous with your stuff, God's going to bless you. It's going to bless you emotionally and physically and spiritually. And so maybe you need to pray a prayer of commitment. Maybe it looks something like this or sounds something like this. Maybe you just need to pray this in your heart. Lord, I want to receive all that you have for me. Therefore, help me to love my neighbor more and more and more. Lord, help me to be bold and to take a risk in loving someone that, you know, again, may throw it back in my face, may be ungrateful, may not appreciate it. Help me to love them no matter what they give me back. Lord, I'm committing to developing authentic relationships with people in the church and outside the church so that I can be a blessing to them and they can be a blessing to me. And so, Lord, help me to love my neighbor. Listen, I hope that you made that commitment today. And I hope that as you walk out of here today, that you will be a neighbor that loves your neighbor. And I hope that you will do it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the love that you've shown me. Lord, I pray that you would help me to show that love to my neighbor. And Lord, I thank you for a church that's generous, a church that gives their time and their resources to be able to serve other people. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our church because we love you and we desire to love our neighbor. Lord, thank you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.